In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the church calls this night a strange word, Maundy Thursday. It's from a Latin word, which we get our English word meaning mandate. And so we remember that Jesus' new mandate, his new commandment to his disciples, was one that he would love, that they would love one another as he had loved them. And so we have the 1 John chapter 13 reading oftentimes. But we also, on this most holy night, focus on the treasure of the Holy Supper and that gift that is given to the Christian church, but also one that is regarded, as we know, with the teachings of St. Paul and the scriptures regarding the doctrine of closed communion. But we focus tonight on this sacrament that we may be blessed by it while we are living and when we are dying on this earth. On a very night, very long ago, in a land of Egypt, the Lord commanded Moses to tell all the people of Israel to set forth a feast, a Passover meal. And the father of each family was to take a lamb, a male lamb, which was a year old without defect, and at twilight, sacrifice the lamb. And then he was to take some of the blood of that lamb, and he was to smear it on the frames of the door of the house that they were living in. Then he would take the rest of the lamb, and he would roast the lamb, and he and his family would eat it. But they would eat it with bitter herbs to remind them of the bitterness of the Egyptian slavery that they had suffered. Now there was to be no leftovers. All was to be consumed either by mouth or by fire. They were also to eat it in haste. For why? It was because it was the Lord's Passover. The Lord was passing over the people with either a judgment of death or a judgment of life. And the lamb's blood would be a sign of life, where its absence meant certain death. This was the first covenant that was sealed in blood, in the blood of a sacrificial lamb. But this blood was not enough. This blood was not going to atone for the sins of mankind. This blood would have to be sacrificed over and over and over again and over again. This blood would not wash away the stain of sin. This blood would not be able to give the guilty conscience peace. Indeed, this Passover meal, with all of its bitter herbs and its unleavened bread and the lamb itself, this was an entire meal of edible prophecy. It was a promised meal. While this meal would give the Israelites something that they could sink their teeth into, nonetheless, it was but an appetizer. It was a foretaste of a much greater lamb and a much greater sacrifice that was to come. Fast forward thousands of years, and then this lamb and his sacrifice, his willing sacrifice, came. It was on a night when this lamb was betrayed into the hands of sinful men. And after this lamb celebrated the Passover meal, recalling the Egyptian, the deliverance from Egyptian slavery, Jesus would then now institute, this lamb would now institute the full feast, what we call the Lord's Supper. The words of institution are so important because they establish what this is, and the words do what they say. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and he said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the many. The symbol, the Passover, was now obsolete. The reality had finally come, had it not? The statue had given way to the real thing. Why hold a picture of someone when you can actually hold them? The blood of mortal lambs, these corruptible lambs, was now replaced with the blood of an incorruptible lamb. The promise of the Lamb of God himself. Think about it this way. It is of small gain to escape death for only a short time, only then to die soon afterward. Think of Lazarus, or think of the widow at Zarephath, or Jairus' daughter. But it's a very different thing to escape death altogether, as we do through the sacrifice of Christ and through his broken body and his shed blood poured out for us. And so this supper, Jesus would have us understand, is not a one-time commemoration like the Passover meal was for the Israelites. This is much more than a memorial meal or a reenactment, contrary to much Reformed theology and much of what you see in American Protestantism today. This is the actual body and blood of Christ. Luther will sing on Easter Sunday in his great hymn, Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands, these words. Here is our Paschal Lamb, we see, whom God has freely given to us. He died on the accursed tree, so strong to save us. See, his blood now marks our door. Faith points to it. Death passes over, and now Satan cannot harm us. So we eat at this altar tonight, not lamb. We eat the body of the Lamb of God on this altar. We do not drink mere wine at this altar. We drink the very blood of the Lamb of God poured out for us on this altar. Israel was forbidden to eat the blood of various creatures, or they were forbidden to shed the blood of any other human being. Why? Because the life was in the blood. But not the life that was and is eternal. That is only this Lamb of God's blood. The only one whose blood has eternal life in it is God himself. And it is his blood that we are now given to eat and to drink as Christians tonight. It's incorruptible life in this blood. And now finally we have a blood that is enough. We have a blood that now pardons all of our sins and removes all death and slays Satan for us. So we take and we eat the Lamb's body and blood. And we also know that it is a foolish risk. It is a fool's errand to think that we would neglect this supper, that we would stray from this supper, that we would not receive it or eat of it as often as it is distributed. We as Christians are to avoid the tricks and the charms of Satan, who wants us to be a stranger at this table. Perish the temptation that you and I, we would flee to the empty promise that 30 pieces of silver could give us any sort of true and lasting hope. Perish the thought also that our sin in this life would ever be greater, or we would think that it would ever be greater than the blood that is shed for us that forgives that sin. And is greater than the body broken for us that has covered that sin and died with that sin. In one sense, you ought not ever to be afraid to eat of the supper when you come burdened and buried by your sins, beset by sin and evil, and begging for mercy and hope. That means that you are worthy to eat of it. For when you eat of the body of Christ, you eat the peace and the life of Christ. You eat the peace and the life which the world cannot give to you, and even if it promises it, it still isn't real. But only that which God can give to you, and that He does. And when you drink His blood and you swallow and you ingest it, you are ingesting His love. His forgiving love of all your sins. This Lamb's body and blood now marks your body and your soul. And so in a greater way, now death passes over you. This covenant, this sacrifice of His mercy, of His body and blood, He gives you as a final sacrifice for your sins. It's an eternal testament that says that though sin and Satan rage in your life and in the world, the victory belongs with this blood and this body that you drink and that you give thanks for. Now, with the body and the blood making your bodies and your souls, or marking your bodies and your souls, now mercy is the final word, not judgment. Now, pardon is the final word, not retribution. Life and new creation are now your destiny and not death and hell. And His promise is, this is my body and this is my blood. These promises are always true. He never lies. His blood is enough and His blood is the truth. And He completes this covenant with you, this blood-bought bond with you, when He dies. When He bows His head and he finishes the work of our salvation. And He ratifies it then on the third day when He rises from the tomb. Nothing but this covenant body and blood does He give to us Christians to eat and to drink, until we drink it anew with Him in the kingdom that He has prepared for us before the foundations of the world. So we Christians on this night, this most holy Thursday, this Maundy Thursday, where we are afforded to eat the Lord's Supper that is set before us, in so doing, we declare in heaven and on earth that this is our God and this is our Savior. That this Lord's crucifixion, this Lord's death, this Lord's resurrection, we proclaim this until He comes again in glory. Jesus wraps up everything that He has done for us, from the beginning all the way to the end, in this most holy supper. His incarnation and life, his doctrine and teaching, his suffering and death, His being laid in the tomb and raised on the third day. All these things we receive in the supper. And so the only thing that is left for us is this. We open our mouths, we might hold out our hand, but as beggars. Beggars who we know as sinners, knowing that this Jesus who came for us, who loved us to the end, who was crucified for us, and who was raised for us, now gives us all good things. And the only thing that we can say to that is that simple word, Amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Amen.